Let's all get our Bibles out, brothers and sisters, get our Bibles out. And for our visitors, let me explain to you how we do things around these parts. We tell you to turn in your Bible to a passage of Scripture, and we believe on faith that you're doing it. But just in case you're tricking me, we have Mickey reads it to you anyhow. So the way we figure out how this works is, you know, you're looking at it, and Mickey reads it, and you're hearing it. Hopefully you're reading it, you're seeing it, and you're hearing it. It's going to stick. It's going to stick. And so we've been talking about a whole lesson in discipleship. Who still wants to be a disciple? You want to be a disciple? Okay, cool. And I told you that being a disciple takes what? Discipline. It takes work, but discipline. How many of you had a hard time with discipline? I mean, let's be real, right? Discipline. Oh my gosh, discipline, Pastor. I wanted to be a disciple until you told me to talk discipline. I didn't know they went hand in hand. Well, guess what? Disciple and discipline from the same root, right? Right, Pascal? Discipline. To be disciplined. And I've been telling you that in order to be a disciple, it takes work. And Elder Bob said that it takes work. How much effort does it take to go to church, really, truly? Well, you get up, you get a shower, maybe. You get in your car and you drive to some place. Then you sit in your sacred space. How many's got? We're starting to develop sacred space here too. I can see it right away. You got sacred space here, yeah. But I mean, I can look out and know where you're going to be seated. I already know this. I know. Like, this is Eric and Yoshiko's sacred space. This is Mickey. Tammy floats.
We should do an all skate.
We could do an all skate. Whitey's kind of like hanging out over here. That's Glenn's, and that's your guys right over there. I know. My mother, but you can have sacred space, Mom. And you know, you go to your place and you sit for an hour and then you leave. How much effort, really, truly? Come on. How much effort, really, truly? Nothing. How much work does it take to be a disciple? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. See, going to church is an experience. Being a disciple is a life change. Being a disciple of the Lord takes a monumental decision in your life that, you know what? You're going to be more than just a disciple 1 hour on a Sunday. You're going to be a disciple 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Fact is, I got a text message. I could show it to you. I got a text message from a young couple, and they bicker about some stuff. And I got a text message, and the text message said, "Hey, we're getting into an argument." And I'm reading it, right? I'm reading it. I'm going, okay, I'm serious. How many know we're in a techno world, right? We don't get phone calls. We get text messages, right? Text messages. And I'm going to read it to you so you can get an idea of the kinds of stuff that I deal with on a daily basis, right? A daily basis. And I'm not kidding you. Here's the text message. This is really cool, right? Here's the text message that I got that I have to, you know, fix these things. It's incredible. Here you go. Doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that Saturday and Sunday are the only days you can go to church, and that if I go on a Wednesday, it doesn't count. Help me out. She doesn't believe me. And so I text messages back, and I said, "I got some bad news for both of you. Scripture says worship on the Sabbath. That's Friday, sundown, and Saturday. So it ain't even Sunday at all." I got a text message, "Pastor, are you sure?" "Clint, am I sure?" You see, we get too tied up in religiosity. We're so encumbered by the sit-downs and the stand-ups. Let's get out of the sit-downs and the stand-ups. Let's get on the knees a little more often. Somebody say amen to that. This is better than the stand-ups and the sit-downs, right? Oh, praise the Lord. Where's my bulletin? In case you're wondering, people here, you'll use them. Because we believe the Holy Spirit is big enough to handle all of that. Ain't he? Kind of like, I thought we was done praying. The Lord said I needed prayer. What are we going to do? Stop because the Lord needs prayer? I don't think so. How many know if everybody in this place wanted to pray, that's what we would turn into a prayer meeting then, right? And so a disciple knows that. And we've been saying that one of the greatest disciplines of a disciple is prayer. Prayer. And I told you that there are characteristics of prayer that is acceptable. And I know that I did such a fine job with that, and you took notes and you knew all the answers, right? So I don't know whether to test you or not, but the first aspect of prayer that is good is what? A prayer must be offered in what? Faith. Humility. You gotta have, you gotta come what? Humble before the Lord. You gotta pray according to God's will. How many of you want your will to be done? Come on, be honest. You want your will? Say that! You want your wills to be done, right? Oh Lord, you know, I just pray, oh Lord, your will be done. No, not really. I want my will be done. Prayer must be offered in persistency. A prayer must be offered with thanksgiving, right? And what's the last one? I see you looking at your notes. What? In Jesus' name and in righteousness. And I told you last week that there are stumbling blocks to prayer. And I'm going to give you the final one. You don't even need to read this in the Bible. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's separation. It's when you are separated from God, you have a stumbling block for prayer. How many understand that? And sometimes people will say to me, well, Pastor Tom, I just don't feel close to the Lord. Where'd he go? Well, what do you mean, where did he go? Really? Oh, I think you think he's in Colorado. Well, that makes sense. He's with those family members over there in Colorado, right? Well, he is. But he's also in Franklin Park, too. And some people say, Pastor Tom, sometimes I just don't feel close to the Lord. Well, the Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the end of the age. So if you don't feel close, who left who? You left him. He didn't leave you. You left him. Brothers and sisters, it's hard to feel close to the Lord when you're down there at the Rivers Casino, popping in your quarters and going, and then you want to get close to the Lord. Oh, Lord, help me get three cherries. Come on, Lord, come on. Really? Really? You think that's the way this works? That's not how this works. Not at all. And one of the stumbling blocks to being close to the Lord is a broken and fractured relationship. And I want to show you three ways that you can be close to someone but have an issue. This is one way to be close to somebody like this. Now, I am close. I'm close. I'm touching. I have a relationship here. But what am I prepared to do? Butt heads. Some marriages are like this. Seriously, some marriages are like this, right? And we're close on some days, but what? Boy, we're ready to go at it. How many understand them? Just say the wrong word. Go ahead, I dare you. And some days we're like this, but some days, and unfortunately, sometimes our relationship with God is like this too. How many know sometimes you argue with God? Anybody argue with God? Right? Another way to have a relationship is like this. We're closer. We're kind of parallel. We're kind of like going down the same path. We're like this. And let me show you the problem with these two things. Come here, Brother Eric. You look dapper today, Eric. If my relationship with God or my spouse is like this, put your hand, get like this little spear. No, you go spear. Put your hand in here. Push it apart. You can do that, right? Cause a separation, right? Now, say my relationship like this. Put your hand there. You can do that, right? Okay, have a seat, Eric. Thanks. Way to go. And so you have a relationship like this, relationship like this, right? And Satan's job is to what? Separate. His job is to separate. How many understand that? It's his job. Separation. Separate, divide, and what? Conquer. Yeah. Divide and conquer. That's his job. How many know he does it like really super well, right? He's like the first class divider and conqueror of the world. And he wants you to be separated. Think about a marriage for just a second. A marriage. When a husband and wife is separated, like they're having an argument, and they're separated by some dimension, some room like bedroom and couch. How many understand bedroom and couch? Bedroom and couch, right? Bedroom and couch. And so here we have a separation, and we have one person in the bed, we have one person on the couch. Who's on the couch?
The dude.
How'd you know that? You knew that, huh? How many men knew it was the couch? It's the couch, right? And so you have separation in marriage, right? Separation. Now we have the wife is where?
In the bed.
In the bed. The husband's on the couch. And they're thinking wonderful thoughts about each other. They're taking this time to reflect on love. And they're taking the time to think lovey-dovey stuff. And the guy's on the couch, right? And he's thinking like, oh, I should just go up here and apologize because I'm always wrong. That's what he's thinking, right? Glenn? You wouldn't know. I know, Glenn wouldn't know. But yeah, and the wife is in the bed, and she's thinking, oh, I'm just so wrong all the time. I should go down and beg him for forgiveness. No. What are you thinking? This is what you're thinking. Satan climbs in there because you have the vision, right? Satan climbs in because you have the vision. And you're kind of thinking on the couch, I don't need this. I am so out of here. And the woman's thinking, God, I hope I hear the door slam. He's still down there. I mean, that's what you think. Because Satan comes in and has your lunch. It says in Scripture that Satan is like a hungry lion. He's waiting for someone to devour. And I told you this before ad nauseum, and it's worth me telling you again. It says that Satan is like a hungry lion. He's waiting in the tall grass. He don't have to get the fastest or the strongest. He just has to get the loner. He has to get the one that's all by themselves, feeling sorry for themselves, separated. How many understand that? But Scripture says, for example, in a marriage, that we are to leave our mother and our father, and we are to what? Cleave. You know what cleave is? This. Come here. Get in there, you rascal. You can't. There's no room. There's no room. And that's why it says in a marriage that a husband leaves his mother and his father, and he what, Ed? Pastor Ed? Cleaves. Cleaves. There's no space. There's no way that Satan is going to get in there. No way. And that's how our relationship is with Christ. He is our groom, and we are the what? Bride. And we are to what? Cleave. Hey, I may have hard times in my life, and I may have obstacles, and I may have sicknesses and diseases and emotions and financial trauma, but there ain't no way I'm letting go of Jesus' hand. There is no way. I'm clinging. How many understand that? And when you separate that gap, Satan comes running in. How many understand that? When we told Jesus to get out of the skull, who ran in? Satan said, oh, I'll wait to be invited. I'm polite. Really? Really? Hey, you know what? Satan doesn't care. He doesn't wait for an invite. You make this, what happens? He comes in. You make this in your marriage, who comes in? You do this in your country, who comes in? Hey, you know what? There's some people right now that are getting ready to vote. And some people follow the elephant. And some people follow the donkey. How many understand that? We got some folks that follow the elephant, and we got some folks that follow the donkey, and I'm following the Lion of Judah. You decide. I'm not a donkey, I'm not an elephant, I'm the Lion of Judah. How many say the same thing? Forget that Democrat, Republican thing. The Lion of Judah is who we worship, amen? And so what happens is, when you get separated, and you get that space, prayer's hard. Because there's so many obstacles. So many obstacles. How many of you have, unfortunately, made that space between you and the Lord? Oh, you know what? Come here, Eric. Just stand here, Eric. I can be close to the Lord. I can come to church. I can sit in the pews. I can put money in the fishnet. I can sing, you know, the splendor of the King. We can do all, but we're not cleaving. We're close, but we're not cleaving. How many understand that? And Satan can what? This is not a relationship with Christ. This is a church-going relationship with Christ. That's what this is. Oh yeah, I know the Lord. So Satan, this is not a cleaving. Give me a hug. Give me a big old hug. Yeah. This is cleaving. That's the relationship you ought to have with Christ. Thank you. You can sit down. Okay, so our next phase that we have to get involved in prayer is the answers to prayer. And there are some possible answers to prayer. And let's turn in our Bibles and we see the first answer to prayer. I'll have you turn in your Scriptures, please, to possible answers to prayer. And we're going to go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. And by the way, brothers and sisters, that's not the Gospel of John. That's the first, second, third one. What do we call that, Lori? The regular John is the Gospel, right? This is the unregular John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22.
And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight.
Oh, praise the Lord. One of the possible answers to prayer is request granted. How many love that answer? Oh, I just love that one, Eric. Request is what? Granted. Oh, praise the Lord. You are so awesome. You're so awesome. But we need to think about something. It says that, you know, whatever we ask, we will receive. We need to wrestle with that a little teeny weeny bit. Because, see, you can't take one passage of Scripture out, which is customary for some folks to do. They take out one passage of Scripture, hang their hat on, and say, hey, I'll get anything I want. How do you know that? Well, 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 says, whatever you ask, you shall receive. Well, that's according to that passage of Scripture. But guess what? I got some bad news for you. There's 66 more books. In order for you to know the full counsel of God, you must know 66 books. So you just can't quote one and say, that's God. Oh, contraire, contraire. You have to what? Know 66 books worth to know what the counsel of God is. Now, let me help you with that. If somebody, one of my grandkids right now, says to Nana, hey, Nana, could we go out in the park? And she says, sure, let's go out in the park. Well, they ask and the petition was granted. So therefore, Nana just gives them everything their little heart desires, right? I'm wrong. Now, they could go off in a little merry way and say, oh, my Nana, she just gives me everything I ask for. Well, how do you know that? Because I asked her today, can we go out into the park and play on the swings? And she said yes. And then I asked her, can we get a Happy Meal? And she said yes again. My Nana, she is so great. Because she gives me everything I ask for. Well, you haven't asked for everything yet. Ask her if you can go play in traffic and see what she tells you. Right? So God grants what you ask for according to His will and to His plan. God cannot stop being God. How many understand that? So do not take that passage of Scripture out of context. There are some things God gives you. Yes, how many got some things from God? Exactly as you want. Praise the Lord. Request granted. But turn your Bibles, please, to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1.
To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven.
For everything there is a what? A season. So the second possible answer to prayer is yes, granted, but not what? Now. How many hate that one? I mean, the waiting one. Isn't that the tough one? The waiting one. And I know that's true with a lot of folks, because you go to Disney World, you want to wait in that big old line. You know, you start seeing, hey, you know, people in wheelchairs, they get in there first. Maybe if one of us pretend we got like a little thing going on here. I wonder how this works. It says, petition granted, but not yet. You see, we want everything granted when? Or if at least not now, by yesterday. Right? And so we have our time frame. How many have a time frame? We all have time frames, right? You know, we live according to our date books. And nowadays we have that on our computers, right? And you know what's really sad about that? Is that some of us, I'm one of those, I know Lori's one of those too, where we work, we have to share our calendars with people. So everybody else gets to see. Now, listen, you have to do that where you work? You know, Chico does it too. Right, we have, it's an office thing, it's called Outlook, and we have a calendar on there. Anybody know what the calendar looks like? And the calendar has our schedule on it. And what we have to do, we have to share our schedule with everybody else in the whole company, theoretically. You know why? Because they don't want to see how busy we are. You know what they want to do? Put some stuff on it. Right? They'll put some more stuff on it. Well, here's the really interesting thing. See, we forgot to share our calendar with God. Because He's got one too. And God's will is sovereign. You know what that means? sovereign. That's a fancy theological word. God's will is sovereign. What that means is He is in total control. And He is going to do what He said He is going to do 100% of the time, and He's going to do it when He gets ready to do it. Help me understand that. And God understands that in His sovereign will, for example, let's make an example, just top of my head. Don't anybody say groans or grunts or anything. No words from the gallery. Like, do we vote for Obama? Do we vote for Romney? Okay, we have these choice, right? Now, I want to let you know right now, God is not a God that's going, oh my God, I hope they vote for the right one. I don't know what I'm going to do if they vote for the wrong one. Oh my God, what am I going to do? Oh, I hope they vote. You don't really think that's how this works? Really? Get a grip. But God's up for a sitting in a rocking chair. Oh God, I hope they make the right decision. Oh my God, oh my God. Really? Really? How many know God's will is going to be done? It doesn't matter who you vote for. Get a grip. Satan's going to say, God says, you know what? I can do with your good choices and I can do with your bad choices. I am going to have my will and my will is going to be done. You are not that powerful when it comes to my will. How many understand that? God's sovereignness. And in God's sovereignness, God says, I'm going to grant your petition when I want to. Because I see the total plan. And all you see is your desire. How do you understand that? And so the second possibility to answered prayer is yes, but not now. Turn in your Bibles. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Sometimes God says, yes, but not in the way you expected. He didn't say no, Whitey. He says yes, but not in the way you think, in the way I think. You see, brothers and sisters, we want our way, our way. See, we don't want just a yes. We want a yes according to our plan. Help me understand that. It's yes, my plan, my way, my time. And God says, no. Mm-mm. It's a yes, but it's in my time and not the way you expect. It's still a yes, but not in the way you think. Because my ways and your ways are different. For my ways are higher than your ways. Now let me help you with this. When we start to question the way God answers prayers, do you understand what you're doing in the questioning of it? You're kind of saying to God, you know, I think I'm smarter than you. I think you made a mistake here, Lord. See, if you'd have done this, it would have been better. Really? Smarter than God? Really? How many need a GPS to get from here to there? Be real. A GPS to get from here to there, right? How many know how a computer works? I mean, can you take it apart and rebuild that thing? I don't know. I don't got a clue. And you know what? And I love all of you in this room, but none of you operate on my brain. I don't care if you stay at the Holiday Inn Express or not. You're not operating on my brain. Really. And so God says, you only get to see, how much time, I mean, how forward do you get to see? Really, I mean, into the future, how much forward do you really get to see? Now, I know philosophically, we might be able to answer that in a philosophical, elegant kind of way. Well, I know what I'm going to be doing this afternoon, Pastor Tom, so I can see somewhat forward. Shauna, if we have to go to work today, Shauna? Shauna might say, well, Daddy, I know I'm going to work at 3 o'clock. And I go, okay. So she might be saying to myself, well, I see that much forward. Help me understand the philosophical. I see that much forward. Well, some people thought they were going to go see Batman, too. Didn't they? See, some people thought that, too. Do you really know, lady? No. But God sees as much forward as we see backward. God sees the extent of everything, Heidi. He sees it all. And he says, you know what? If I give you exactly what you want the way you want it, I see what's going to happen. And it isn't going to be good. And so I, because I can see that far in the future, I'm not going to give you exactly what you want the way you want it, but I am going to give you this. Because this will benefit you more. How many understand that? Now, how many of you can accept it? It's hard. It's hard. We shake our fist. Where are you, Lord? Oh, how many of the Lord's where he always is? He didn't go anywhere, right? And so we have three possible answers so far to prayer. Yes, the way you want it. Yes, the way you want it, but not now. Not the way you want it, but still yes. How many know there's another answer? Anybody ever get the other answer? What's the other answer? Oh, I don't like that. Who hates being told no? Oh, Heidi. Oh, Heidi's getting help too. It's hard to even get it out right. Turn in your Bibles, please. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 11. Oh, I love the sound of the turning pages. That means people are looking for it. This is great.
And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Therefore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it.
No one likes to be corrected, do they? Especially as adults. I mean, let's face it, that's some tough stuff. We want everything our little heart desires, and we want it when? Now. And it's tough. It's tough to be told no. But just so I don't hurt any of your little hearts and, you know, burst any of your little spirits and stuff, how many of you have ever been told no at least one time? Okay, cool. Did you raise your hand? Well, the answer is no. And so the question is how many at the time when you were told no and your little hearts were like breaking and stuff, survived? And how many are better because you did survive? Anybody in this room can pray this way. Lord, thank you. You love me so much. You won't bless me too quick. Really? And sometimes the answer is, no. Because you couldn't handle it. So you think you can, but you can't. You're having a hard enough time handling what you already got. Really? I mean, you're having a hard enough time with the blessings you already got. You know, take care of what you already got before you ask for something else. How many ever said that to your kids? Well, the Lord says the same thing. The Lord said, no. Turn in your Bibles. This is going to be a tricky one. I'm going to hear all the pages turn. Habakkuk. Oh, yeah, it's in there. It's one of the 66. Look it up. Habakkuk, chapter 3, verses 17 to 19.
Though the fig trees may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the field yields no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills.
Sometimes, brothers and sisters, when adversity comes our way, how many ever get adversity? you know, adversity comes our way, you know, and we got a little trial thing going on, we kind of say at that time, where are you, Lord? Where are you? But in this particular passage, Scripture says what? Though there may not be any olives on the tree or grapes on the vine, I'm still going to trust in the Lord. Oh, brothers and sisters, it's so easy to trust in the Lord when everything is perfect. We are just first-class trusters then, ain't we? I mean, when everything is just perfect, first-class trusters. But Scripture says that when you are told no, still love Him. When you are told no, and everything seems to be falling apart, God is still God. Think of Job. And I won't get into a big litany on Job, but how many remember the story of Job? And everybody says, his wife said what? Hey, why don't you just curse God and die? No, why don't you just trust God and live? Really, right? Let's do the final one. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13.
No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it.
You know what? Whether the answer to your prayer is yes, exactly as you requested, or two, yes, exactly as you requested, but you have to wait, or three, yes, but not the way you thought, or four, no, God is still God. He's no less God in any one of those four responses as He was when you prayed. How many understand that? He's still God. He's still God. And the question that you must ask yourself, disciples, is, are you trusting Him enough that in the nose He is still God? Really? How many are learning a lesson on how to accept the no's as well as the yes's? Right? Brothers and sisters, how many of you are glad that you're not in charge? I mean, of this world. Hey, turn to the person next to you and say, oh, thank God you're not in charge. Yeah. Yeah. Now, because that person said that, turn to the same person and say, yeah, you too. I don't know about you, brother and sister, but I'm certainly glad that God did not call a committee meeting of us to decide what time the world should wake up today. How many know we still be in the meeting? God's in charge. Next week, we're going to talk about how we're going to pray. We talked about what prayer is acceptable unto the Lord. We talked about what are the obstacles to prayer. And I just told you what are the possible answers to prayer. Next week, and the following weeks that ensue, we're going to talk about, okay, how do we do this? I'm going to give you the model for prayer. I'm going to give you an example of prayer. I'm going to give you a schedule of prayer. Like from now on Mondays you pray for this. For example, your family. On Tuesdays we're going to pray for our church. On Wednesdays we're going to pray for our country. And I'm going to give you how we're going to do this. And so we're going to be expert prayer warriors. Who wants to be an expert prayer warrior? And we're going to walk through the model of prayer. I'm going to teach you how to do it, okay? But let's teach you now. Let's pray. Father God, you are so awesome to think, Lord, that the creator of the whole universe wants to spend time in Franklin Park on Blueberry Hill. I can't hardly believe it, but you do. And you would want to spend time with us, but you do. Lord, in this room may be brothers and sisters that are struggling or suffering in some kind of way. Lord, touch them as only you can. Ease their heart, Lord. Ease their heart. They don't need to be worried about stuff. You're in control. You're in perfect control. And Lord, through chastening and sometimes through trials and tribulations, we become men and women of character. Lord, thank you that you love us so much you won't bless us too quick. In your awesome name we pray these things, and all of God's people said, Amen.